We're going to turn to this epistle of Paul to Philemon. Just going to read it all, please, tonight. So let's just hear what the Word of God has to say. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow labourer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written with mine own hand, I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The scriptures that we've read previously to Philemon. Just one word, or one passage I want to leave with you again. And it's the verse 10. Really just want to concentrate on Onesimus this evening, but probably dealing with the whole chapter, but just want to leave that verse 10 with you. Here's what Paul says. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let's just still our hearts, please. We'll turn to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy precious word. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of thy word that giveth light. We thank you, O God, that heaven and earth may pass away, but thy word shall never pass away. We thank you, Lord, for the written word. We thank you, O God, for the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you, O God, that he became a ransom for us, and he went to that cross at Calvary and shed his precious blood. Now, Lord, as we come now to handle thy word, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst fill us with thy spirit. Help us, Lord, to decrease, that thou wouldst increase. O God, that our name would perish in the dust, but O God, thy great name would be uplifted high above all. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst give us grace. Fill us with thy spirit. We pray, Lord, for preacher and hearer alike, O God, that will hear the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts. Bless us, Lord, now. We need thee. O God, we pray that thou wouldst bring the solemnity of eternity upon this meeting. O God, that men and women, boys and girls, will be wise and consider their latter end. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In the 15th chapter of Luke, the Lord Jesus Christ relates three stories to the hypocrites of the Pharisees and the scribes. There's three incidents that the Lord Jesus Christ relates to those men. He talks of a sheep that is lost. A shepherd had 100 sheep, and one of them is lost out in the wilderness, out in the barrenness of the mountains, and it's lost. There's a lady who has 10 coins, and one of those are lost. And then finally, there's a third story of a young man, a son, and he's lost too. The sheep, it was lost. It was a dumb animal. It doesn't possess any rationale. It can't do any thinking. It works in instinct alone. And if there's any sheep farmers here this night, I'm sure you know, a sheep will just put its head down and start to nibble grass. It's oblivious to all that goes around it. And maybe that's what happened that day with the shepherd. And the sheep disappears. It's dumb. Secondly, the woman with the coin. Maybe it was lost due to carelessness. Maybe she set it down or dropped it or something, but it was lost. And like the sheep, it was found. And like the coin, it was found. But then there was a son. A son who was lost due to nothing else but pure willfulness. Here was a young man who was determined to go and have a good time. Here was a young lad. He had all the privileges, and yet he made shipwreck of his life. You know, life is a precious thing, a precious gift from God. And here was a young man in Luke 15. He wasted his life with riotous living. Young person, older person this night, you've only got one life. And like a vapor, it's passing away. I remember when I started work as a fresh-faced graduate, I remember an old man, he said to me, and he said, young man, he says, life, this is not a rehearsal. This is the real thing. This isn't a rehearsal for a play. This isn't an act for a play at Christmas or whatever. This is the real thing. You see, in the theatre, men and women pretend to be actors. They go and rehearse their lines, to go on the stage and act out a scene before an audience. They practice until they get it right. But you see, that's not life for you. Life, this is life, and this is reality. And for each one of us, life is slowly passing us by. How did you spend the week that's gone into eternity? Did you use it for the Lord? Did you use it profitably? Or did you waste it? Think back of the hours that you spent last week. You see, those hours that you wasted, they're gone. They're gone for good. You can't get them back again. For each one of us, life is slowly passing us by. I think that story that the Saviour told in Luke 15, that story of the prodigal son, tugs at the heartstrings. When you consider a father who loved his son, a father who would do anything for him, and yet I see a young lad who turns his back on the love of a father and he leaves home. You ask the question, how do you know that his father loved him and would do so much for him or do anything for him? Did the son not come and say, Father, give to me everything that's coming to me. When you die, I want it, and I want it now. Is that not the spirit of the age? I want it, and I want it now. Maybe the father thought, well, if I give him what he wants, he'll stay. Here was a father who loved his boy. He didn't want him going off to the far country. He didn't want him to lose or waste his life in riotous living. And so he decides to give it to him. The young lad no sooner had those things than he was off. He was off to have a good time in the far-off country, as he thought. And maybe that's your attitude. Maybe you think, I can't wait till I leave home. I'm going to go out there and make an impression in this world. I'm going to set right all the wrongs in the world. But we realise in that Luke story, in Luke 15, he didn't. The only way place that young man went was downwards. Why does such a story of a young man pluck at our hearts when we sit and contemplate it? I would suggest maybe one reason. Because I'm sure each one of us is aware of some young lad, some young lassie that has behaved just in the exact same fashion. Maybe sitting here tonight as a parent, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've had children, brought up in a godly home, given the best of opportunities, having all the privileges. They know they need to be saved. And yet they've turned their back on your Saviour. They've went off into the world and they're caught up in sin. Young people, there's a lesson here for each one. Older person, there's a lesson for each one. In Luke 15, here was a young person caught up in the things of the world. Maybe it's not a parent. Maybe there's a young person sitting here and that prodigal son is just a picture of you. Brought up with all the godly privileges and yet you choose your sin. You want to be in the world chasing after the things of the world. You think there's pleasure in sin and you're going to have a great time just like that young lad. Or maybe you're sitting here, a young teenager, and saying, I wish I was 18 to get out of the restraints of home. Yes, my parents are godly. They love the Lord. But it's too straight for me. It's too hard a life for me. I can't wait till I get out of the house. You've got an attitude in your heart to rebel against your parents, your godly parents, because of the restrictions. Do you know why they put the restrictions there? The bottom line is, they love you. The story relates, the Saviour relates of a prodigal. Maybe it hasn't happened here in Ballymena, but I'm sure there's plenty of places where that story is true and it's happened time and time again. And I'm sure there's many, if not here, have experienced those bitter and harsh realities of a life snared by sin. And the more they try to resist and they fight against it, they become more and more entangled in it. Just like a fly that's caught in a spider's web. It flaps and flaps trying to get free. And the more it tries to resist and the harder it tries to fight to get free, the more it becomes entrapped in the snare. Is that like you and sin? And the more it fights to get free, the signals are sent to the spider. And the spider feels the vibrations in the web. And the spider slowly moves in for the kill. Slowly and stealthily it moves to take the life of the fly. Oh, don't be trapped in the web of sin and the design of Satan. He'll snare you and ultimately damn your soul in an awful place called hell. Oh, that you would be wise and consider your latter end. You see, I just want to give that introduction about a prodigal. A young man who's left home. Because I believe this young man, Onesimus, that we've read about here in Philemon, is probably a real life prodigal. Here was a young man, Onesimus, and he was a real life prodigal. Here was someone who was tangible. They could realize and see in his life a young man with all the privileges. And yet he leaves his master's house, and the only place he goes is downwards. But thankfully there's a great ending, because he's picked up and he becomes a child of God and of Jesus Christ. So the first point I want to consider is Onesimus. Onesimus and his old past. Let's look at the privileges that he enjoyed. Here was a young man, Onesimus. And let's have a look at the privileges he enjoyed. What a master he had. His master was Philemon, a man of God, a man who loved the Lord. He could say his boss was a godly and God-fearing man. And in verse 1, Paul gives us a description of this man, Philemon. He says, dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to your beloved Apphia, verse 2, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church and thy house. Here was a man who loved the Lord. Here was a man who even had a church in his house. The people of God would come and meet in the house of Philemon. What a witness it was to this young man, this young Onesimus, and I'm sure he was aware of his need of salvation. I'm sure when Philemon was prepared to share the gospel with those around him, I'm sure he was prepared to share it with his slave, his servant, Onesimus. Young person, maybe you've got the exact same privileges. Your mom and dad love the Lord. They give you a godly upbringing. They tell you of Jesus, your Saviour, the one who can save you from sin. They tell you that you must be born again. You've got one of the greatest privileges that any boy and girl, man or woman could ever possess. Here was Onesimus. What a privilege he had. Yes, he was a slave, but he was brought up in a godly home. Young person, older person, maybe you can relate to that this evening. Brought up in a godly home, a God-fearing home, where your parents love the Lord and they share the gospel with you. Let's look at verse 5. Philemon, love and faith and it was extended to the saints. Here he's love and faith in his heart. It's a love that it works out by actions. He demonstrates it to the saints. And I would say also that it was also demonstrated towards his slaves, towards his servants, Onesimus. What privileges this young man had, brought up in a godly home. He knew his need of salvation. What privileges is extended to you that you know your need of salvation? And here's Onesimus. Yes, he was a slave. I'm sure he was purchased by Philemon to work for him. Yes, he had to work in that home. But look at the privileges that he had. I see the sovereignty of God in this young man's life. Do you know why? Someone else could have purchased him. Someone else, he could have been a slave to someone else. He could have been slave to a tyrant, to a despot. Someone who would have treated him or maltreated him, treated him harshly. And yet, in the sovereignty of God, he's found in this home that belongs to Philemon an opportunity to hear the gospel. Young person, do you see the sovereignty and God in your, of God in your life? You've been born in a Christian home. You know your need of salvation. You come to Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church and you hear the gospel from a godly and faithful minister. You maybe attend the Sunday school and a godly Sunday school teacher tells you your need of salvation. Do you not see the sovereignty of God in your life? Oh, that you would be convinced that God has been good to you. It's not something to be resented and detested, but to realize that God in his sovereign will has placed you in such a fashion as this. Do you realize that there's millions across this world who've never heard the name of Jesus? Do you realize that there's teeming multitudes that don't know that they're a sinner? I say across the world, could it be in Northern Ireland? Could it be even in Ballymena here that there's some people that don't even know their need of salvation? And yet in the sovereignty of God, you've heard the message of the gospel that you've born a sinner and you need salvation. Here was a young man, Onesimus. What great privileges he possessed. Young person, older person, maybe here tonight unsaved. Look at the privileges you possess. But you know, with great privileges, there always comes great responsibilities. Are you saved? Have you taken Christ as your Savior? Yes, you know your need of salvation. But how do you react towards it? Let's look how Onesimus reacts towards the message of the gospel. In verse 11, let's see what it describes him as. Here's Paul writing this letter. And he says, which in time past, he's talking about Onesimus, in time past to thee was unprofitable. Here was a young man, Onesimus, in time past, in his past days, he was unprofitable. Do you see that word, unprofitable? Do you know how else you can render that word unprofitable? He's useless. Imagine saying that of this young man. Here was a young man, and Paul describes him as unprofitable, but the word means useless. If any of you have been in a work environment, I'm sure you've heard the old statements. He's as useful or she's as useful as a chocolate fire guard. What does it mean? It means they're useless. They're as useful as a chocolate fire guard. It gives no protection from the heat. What does a chocolate fire guard do? It'll melt. It's of absolutely no use. Or maybe you've heard the saying, as useful as wing mirrors in a bath. It conveys the idea that they're useless. And here was a young man who was a slave to Philemon. And he was absolutely useless. Philemon must have been a very gracious master. He must have been a very gracious boss to this young man. Here was a young man that he had bought and paid for, who worked round his home. And look what he was. He was absolutely useless. He paid for his keep. He had him there. And yet, in all his mercy, he didn't throw him out. Here was a young man who was supposed to work, but he didn't. He was useless. Here was a young man that was unprofitable. And yet, his godly boss continues to put up with it, with his behavior. And I ask the question, why? I believe the love of God was in this man's heart. Do you know this? Each one of us either are or were spiritual Onesimus's. Each one of us in our sinful days in the past were useless. We were spiritually dead before God. We could work no spiritual good towards God. Do you know what Isaiah says? All our righteousnesses, all the things that we consider doing right, were as filthy rags in the sight of God. We could work no spiritual good towards God. We were unprofitable. We were useless towards a holy God. And yet God in His mercy and God in His love persevered with us. Maybe you're here tonight and you're still in your sin. You're still like Onesimus, unprofitable, useless. You can't work any spiritual good towards God. And God has been gracious to you. God has given you another opportunity to repent and believe the gospel. But not only is this young man unprofitable or useless, but in verse 18, we find that he's untrustworthy. Look, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. If he has wronged thee, those words mean to act wickedly towards thee. Philemon, if this young man, Onesimus, what he's really saying is, I wronged thee. He has acted wickedly against thee. His behaviour against his master was despicable. And even though his master treats him justly with kindness because the love of God's in this man's heart, this young man rebels. He acts wickedly against his boss. He cannot be trusted. Here's a young man that cannot be trusted. Not only is he wicked, but if he oweth thee, if he oweth thee aught, here's a young man that's in debt. Onesimus has taken, he's borrowed, but he hasn't paid it back. Maybe he's promised and clouded it with promises and said, yes, Philemon, if you lend me that money, I'll give you it back. But he didn't. He still owes the money he hasn't paid. Could it be that Onesimus sees the love of God in his boss's heart? He sees him as a soft touch. He sees him as one that he can walk over. And he treats him like a doormat. Young person, unsaved. Is that the way you treat your parents? You treat them wickedly. You're caught in sin. Or maybe you say, lend me some money and I'll pay it back. But they never ask for it back and you never pay it. And maybe you're just like Onesimus. Treat your godly parents like this man treats his boss. Treats them like a doormat as if you can walk all over them. Oh, don't be like Onesimus. But here, and Philemon's gracious. And your parents are gracious to you. Why? Because the love of God's in their heart. And they love your soul for Christ's sake. How do you stand before God this evening? And sinner, that's exactly how you behave towards God. God is gracious to you. And yet you act wickedly towards him. You sin against him. You break his laws. You're at enmity with God, as Romans 8 says. You behave wickedly towards God. And you immerse yourself in sin. You've no time for God. You just want to go on in your sin. And you act wickedly. You see, you want to steep yourself in sin. You know, sin, God can't even look upon it. So heinous it is to his sight. And yet you act wickedly and behave wickedly towards Almighty God. Not only do you behave wickedly towards him, you steal from him. You may say, how can I steal from him? Has God not given you time? Has God not given you health and strength? And yet you use your time for yourself. You want to spend time in yourself. You've no time for God. You won't bow the knee and worship God. Unprofitable, untrustworthy. Thirdly, what else? Verse 15. I see a young man that's unhelpful. I see a young man that's uncaring. The word of God tells us that he departed for a season. Yes, he departed for a season, for he was coming back. But I'm sure there was a young man, and I'm sure he had all the intentions of leaving and leaving for good. I'm sure he had no intention of coming back. Let's think about it. Here's a young man that's useless. He gives no added value to the work round his master's home. And here was a young man who wasn't going to stick around and help. So he decides to run away. He doesn't want to help. He's an unhelpful young man. Maybe he thinks that life owes him 11. I'm not going to hang around here anymore. And maybe that's your attitude, that life owes you 11. I'm not going to help anyone to get involved in the work of God and work here. I'll just help myself. And despite his master being gracious to him, helping him, and even putting up with his unprofitableness, he decides to steal away. I'm sure here's a young man that doesn't go in the middle of the day and say, "Master, I'm leaving." I'm sure he got up in the middle of the night and left under the cover of darkness. What a picture of man's heart. Man loves darkness rather than light. And here's a young man and he steals away. Here we see a young man, unprofitable, untrustworthy, unhelpful. What a past. There's nothing in his past to be proud of. What a background. I'm sure if you found a person like this in your genealogy, or if you were doing your family tree, you would probably leave it out. You wouldn't put him in. But you know this, there's nothing in our background to be proud of. There's nothing spiritually in our background to be proud of. We're just like this, Onesimus, useless, spiritually bankrupt. But there's joy in this story because I believe Onesimus secondly finds a new position. We see a young man's past. What a sad past, an old past that he has. He's got a loving and kind master, but he decides to abscond. He's had enough. I don't want to be around him anymore, and he decides to run away. Here's a young man and he runs and heads for the big city. He thinks he'll find plenty of friends and family there. And he heads for the city of Rome. But again, in this story, I see the providence of God in this young man's life. Even though he runs from a godly master, Philemon, look whose path he comes across in Rome. He comes across the apostle to the Gentiles. That man, Paul, that man who loved the Lord, the motto over his life was, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Is that your motto? "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And here we see him come to Rome. He comes from a man, his boss, who loves the Lord, and he comes to the city of Rome. I'm sure he thought, "Well, I'll get away from the things of God, and I'm going to have a whale of a time here." And yet, he comes across this apostle Paul. I suggest again, the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God in this young man's life. What about the sovereignty of God in your life? God has been good and ordained it so that you might be in this meeting once again. And here's a young man. He's found in Rome and he finds the apostle Paul. Here's a young man, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's fleeing from the things of God. But what more proof is there required than that? Man doesn't seek God. Man seeks to run from God. But God in his mercy seeks men and women. Young person, maybe that's your attitude. I'm trying to run away from God. But that'll not detract God from seeking those whom he has chosen. God comes seeking people. And I believe God comes to speak to this young man. Here's a young man and he's brought low. You see, why do I say that? Paul was in prison. And here's where a young man comes and he meets Paul in prison. Here was a young man that was brought low. Brought low that he might be exalted. I think of Luke chapter 15. A young man, young Jewish boy. He leaves home, he goes to the city lights. And he's brought low. He's hit rock bottom. He can't go any further down. He's found among the pigs, the most unclean animal to the Jews. And here's a young man sitting at the pig trough, feeding from it. There's a young man, he can't go any further down. And at that point, he comes to his senses. Here's a young man. It looks as if he's been put in prison. And here he comes across Paul. I don't know what he's guilty of. But this young lad seems to have hit rock bottom. Young person, have you hit rock bottom yet? Are you still in free fall before you hit it? Oh, don't go to rock bottom like these young men before you realize and come to Christ. Here's Onesimus. And I've no doubt that Paul witnessed faithfully to this young man. Maybe Onesimus started to confess and say all the things that have went wrong in his life. And maybe he said to Paul, I used to have a godly master, and I absconded and I came to Rome, and I've done such and such, and now I'm in prison. I can't go any further down. I've hit rock bottom. And I'm sure Paul, in the love in his heart, shares the message of the gospel. But it needn't be like that. You can take Christ as your own and personal Savior. And I'm sure he tells of Jesus, the mighty to save. Someone who can lift him out of the miry clay and put him in a rock. Someone who can take him out of the depths of despair and lift him up. Just like Peter who sank under the waves, the Savior reached forth his hand and lifted him up. It's a small world, isn't it? We often say in Northern Ireland, you don't talk about anybody in case you talk about their family or their friends. And here in a prison cell in Rome, Onesimus mentions a man called Philemon, a man known to Paul. And I'm sure Paul said, well, I'll write a letter to your boss. I'll write a letter to your master. I know Philemon. I believe it was in that prison cell, when that young lad hit rock bottom, that he realized he had nowhere else to go. And he took Christ as his own and personal Savior. He was brought low that he might be lifted up. And verse 10, Paul says, he's beseeching Philemon for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. And here I believe young Onesimus, this young man who absconded, came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that word or that noun, son, it's used of Timothy. And Paul says of his young son in the faith. You see, Onesimus finds a new position. He's a son now. He's been brought into the family of God. He's been adopted into the family of God. Once he was in sin, in darkness, he had no light. But he's been brought into the marvelous light of the gospel. He's adopted into the family of God. And maybe that speaks volumes to that young man. He's a slave. Maybe he never knew his parents, but he's been adopted into the family of God. He was in darkness. He was unprofitable. He was wicked. And yet the glorious light of the gospel shines into this young man's heart, I believe, through the witness of Paul in prison. And I see a change in his status. He was a child of Satan, and now he's brought into the family of God. Is that where you are tonight? Can you say that I've been adopted into the family of God? That Jesus Christ is my Savior? If you can't say that, you're still in your old condition. A child of the devil and bound for hell. Oh, that you'd be wise and consider your latter end. You see, the Spirit of God has worked in this young man's heart. It wasn't Paul that saved him. Paul was only an instrument to tell this young man, to warn him and tell him of his need of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got a new position. He's into a new family. He's a new creature. All things have passed away and all things have become new. Not only do I see the sonship of this young man, but verse 15 gives us another insight. Verse 16. It says, now not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. Not only can we see his sonship, but he's not a servant anymore. He's above a servant. He's a brother beloved. His new position in Christ. He's adopted, but he's above a servant. In fact, a brother, and a brother beloved. What an experience for a young man. Maybe he left thinking nobody cared. Nobody loved him. But he realized that Christ had died on the cross to save him from his sins. His position is elevated to a position of brother, of son. And you know this, each one that's saved here tonight, our position has been elevated. We were the child of Satan. We've been brought into the family of God. We've been adopted. And we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a position for each one that's saved to be in. Unsaved here this evening. The Savior can take you from the quagmire of your sin. from your free fall in sin and elevate you to a position in Christ. Christ changes hearts and he changes lives. And even here in this chapter in Philemon, I see a glimpse of the Saviour. Verse 18, let's just read it. Paul says, if he hath wronged thee aught, Philemon, or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. He says, Philemon, do you see all the wrongs that that young man has done towards you? Or any of that money that he stole from you? You put it on my account. Yes, it was a young man who performed the misdeeds. But don't worry about that. I'll pick up the tab. Put you that to my account. What a picture it is of the Saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who never sinned, the one who couldn't sin. And yet he comes and goes to the cross at Calvary. And he dies for the sins of his people. The sins of his people that he was chosen in eternity past were reckoned to him. Our sins, those that are saved, his people, sins were imputed to Christ, reckoned to him, and our slate was wiped clean because of Christ and the cross at Calvary. Will you take Christ as your Saviour? Will you have your slate wiped clean, reckoned to Christ, put to his account? Even though he was a just dying for the unjust, what a Saviour. Will you take Christ this evening? Thirdly and finally, Onesimus' future prospects. At the start of this story, we see a young man, unprofitable, useless, but he's been lifted out of his sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has changed his life. And look at the future prospect that he has. Here was a young man who was unprofitable. But look at verse 11. But now, profitable to thee and to me. Paul says, yes, in his past he was unprofitable. He was of absolutely no use. But not anymore. There's a change. He's taken Christ as his Saviour. He's a young man who was unprofitable. But not any longer. Why? Because of the work of God in his heart. Young person, older person, boy, girl, Christ can work in your heart and make you profitable. Profitable to thee and to me. What a change. What a transformation from being useless to a profitable young man. What an impact the gospel has on this young man's life. And you know this, the gospel can have an impact in your life. Look at Paul, what he says in verse 13. He was desirous that he would stay and minister unto him. What a transformation in this young man's life. Untrustworthy, unprofitable. And yet here's the Apostle Paul, that he was desirous that this young man would come and help him in the ministry, to help him out. You know, Christ can change your life, change your heart. It's not social solutions that solve man's heart. It's Christ. It's the gospel that changes. What a transformation it made in this young man's heart. You can read the great revivals of the past. 1859. The place was coming down with alcohol. Drunkenness was all about. And yet when the Spirit of God moved, lives and hearts were transformed by the amazing power of the gospel. Here's a young man. His life has been changed. Verse 15. We'll see What it says verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Here's what Paul says, Philemon, you should receive him forever. He's coming back to you to labour for ye. What about the prospect of the Christian? To be received by our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live with him forever in heaven. For the Christian, the future, the prospect is bright, an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we live in a day of discouragement. We live in a day of trouble and financial problems. But we've got a greater hope. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unsaved, have you ever considered your future? If you haven't, I'll tell you. Unsaved, your future, spiritually speaking, is bleak. Oh, maybe financially everything's well with you, but spiritually speaking, it's bleak. It's dark. There's an eternity in that place called hell, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You're still in your original state. Like Onesimus in the beginning of this story, your future is bleak. Oh, that you would be wise and consider your latter end. That you would flee to Christ. That you would be like Onesimus, who was transformed by the power of the gospel. We're living in a financial crisis at the moment. Turn on the TV or read the papers. They say it's the worst crisis since the Great Depression in the 30s. Some are looking to a short-term future to get the mess fixed up that they can get on with their lives. Oh, unsaved, consider your eternal future. If you neglect to consider your eternal future, it'll be worse than any Great Depression. You read in Luke 16 about the rich man, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. There was a man whose future was fixed in an awful place called hell, never to have an opportunity to escape there forever. Young person, you've an opportunity. Older person, you've an opportunity to be saved. Oh, that you would take Christ. Oh, maybe you find yourself like Onesimus, just at this moment, unprofitable. But there was a change took place in his life. When he was at rock bottom, he couldn't go any further. And in a prison cell, he took Christ as his Savior. And he became profitable. He had a future prospect. And you too tonight can have a prospect of a home in heaven to live for God in this earth. He's a brother that will never leave you nor forsake you. This night, what will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Take him as your own and personal Savior.